Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled The War of What Ifs. In this message, we'll be looking at the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob, specifically focusing on how both his choices as well as the choices of others directly impacted his life, and how that even though Joseph had a dream from God, his life continued to make some unexpected turns in directions that seemed opposite to the dream God placed in his heart. Fortunately, Joseph seemed to always keep his eyes looking ahead and not behind, and not asking himself, what if? Because of this, I believe God was able to put Joseph exactly where he was supposed to be. Amen. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful, Father, for what you have provided us with in Jesus, in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for our redemption, for making us new creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's wonderful news. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you've given us in your life, in your death, in your resurrection. Thank you. Holy Ghost, this evening we acknowledge you as the teacher, and we believe that you're going to teach us, that you're going to enlighten us, that you're going to bring the word to life on the inside of us. And we come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, this evening, we're going to be looking at a man by the name of Joseph, which I know that that's a name that we're all familiar with, and I'm not referring to Joseph of Mary and Joseph, Jesus' earthly parent, but who I'm referring to is Joseph from the Old Testament. And Joseph, if you'll remember, is a person that he had some dreams, and his dreams affected his life in a big way. And we want to look tonight particularly at the dreams and how they affected his life, specifically in how they affected his life as a result of how he spoke about those dreams. If you'll remember, and we're going to go back and really dig into this a little bit, you know, he had these dreams at the beginning, and they were first about his brothers, and then about his parents and his brothers, and how they're going to be bowing down to him. And I guess before I start teaching on that area, let's go just look at these, and that's going to be in the book of Genesis. If you have your Bible and you'd like to turn with me, we're going to be looking at the 37th chapter to begin with, and the story of Joseph stretches for several chapters after that, obviously, because of the constraints of time, we couldn't possibly read all of the story. So we're going to kind of hit some of the highlights specifically in reference to how the events of his life were affected because of these dreams and because of how he spoke about these dreams. So let's begin here in chapter 37 in the first verse. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren, verse 4, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, you know, just right there, it doesn't it just sound like Joseph is just set up for something very bad to happen? you've got these older brothers, and none of them are happy with him. They all hate him, and then Dad loves him the most. I look at that and I just marvel that, you know, that the way everything seemed to be heading in this look like it's going to hit the brick wall here, you know, which invariably it did. And it began here with this dream, verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brother. Now, let's just stop and think about this for a minute. He had this dream, and as we're going to read here, this dream put his brothers in a position to where they're bowing down to Joseph, the hated brother. So as I have read this and kind of meditated on it a little bit, trying to picture what would it have been like if Joseph would have kept his mouth shut? Debbie and I were discussing this over dinner this evening. You know, what would have happened? Well, you know, that's one of the things that you really don't want to get into if you're in Joseph's shoes. And that is this what if mentality. What if I hadn't done that? What if I didn't tell the dreams to my, or the dream to my brother, and then later the dream to my parents? What if, you know, if Satan can get you going down the path of what ifs, he's going to take you in that direction as far as you will let him go, until your whole life is completely engulfed in what ifs. What if I hadn't done that? What if I hadn't done this? And I really think if you put yourself in Joseph's position, he could have spent his life asking himself, what if I hadn't done that? You know, what was I thinking, telling my brothers this dream? Now, let's look at the dream here. And Joseph dreamed a dream, verse 5, and he told it his brother, and then they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, you know, here's this picture. They're out in the field. His sheaf stands upright. Their sheaves bow down to him, making obeisances. You know, they're paying honor to Joseph. Now, my first thought is, is that really the dream? Is that really something that's wisdom, telling these people this dream? These people that hate you, Joseph. And so as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, can you imagine Joseph, particularly as he's suffering the consequences for having told this dream to his brethren? What would he not have been just bombarded with the thoughts of, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? What if I had not said anything? I wouldn't be in these circumstances. Now, the thought that I had, and I really believe this was the Holy Ghost, that what if he hadn't done it? How would God have worked these dreams into his life? And as I thought that, it immediately came to me, and I really believe it was God, that God knew in advance, obviously, what Joseph was going to do with telling this dream to his brethren, and the ramifications. He could see the results in the future, and all of these things work together to this end of the fulfillment of the dream. It wasn't a shock to God in this instance for because of what Joseph did. That didn't shock God. And so you look at it in that light, and it's not predestination. It's simply, in this case, God knowing what was going to happen in the future in regard to the telling of this dream from Joseph to his brethren. And so, you know, if you look at it in hindsight and you say, well, what if he hadn't done this? How would this dream have come to pass? See, I think we get into trouble when we start trying to second guess things because of decisions and actions that we've done, like Joseph did in this case with his brethren. His brethren hated him. And you know, I look at it and I wonder, maybe, you know, would I have done the same thing? Well, I don't know. But Joseph did. And Joseph suffered as a result of what he had done. You know, and let's look at a little, he had another dream here. Let's look at the next one. The next one is in verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the 11 stars made obeisance. So here we have them bowing down. Now it's 11 stars instead of the 11 sheaves. Now it's 11 stars. And the moon, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. So the sun and the moon is mom and dad and the 11 stars. So now we got the whole family. We got mom and dad and all of the stars. And so they're bowing down to him. And again, he's telling them this dream. And you look at it and you question the wisdom behind doing this, and yet he did. And there were consequences that resulted. But even in the consequences that Joseph experienced as a result of telling this dream, it all was forming a path to the end result, which was what? The fulfillment of the dream. Now, I think you have to just finally admit to yourself, God is a lot smarter than we are. And when we can accept that and appreciate that, it makes life a whole lot easier. You know, whenever you look at a situation like with Joseph, you know, at times I look at it and I scratch my head because of, you know, some of the decisions that Joseph made. Now, Joseph was only 17 years old when he's having these dreams and he's telling these dreams. So, you know, he was a child. And it wasn't until he was 30 years old before he stood before Pharaoh and he was interpreting the dreams of the 7 years of the feast and the 7 years of the famine. You know, that 17 to 30, 13 years. 13 years. And we think that it's difficult for us at times to hold on to the dreams that God has given to us. You know, and we're going to look in Joseph's life at a couple of the events that took place even after he was sold into slavery by his brothers and the events that took place there. So he told the dreams. The brothers, they were mad. They took the opportunity to sell him into slavery. And then we're going to pick this up in chapter 39 of Genesis. So if you can turn over to chapter 39. Now, in verse 1, it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt.
and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. That's the people that his brother sold him into slavery, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. But and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Even though Joseph is in this difficult situation, God has made him to prosper. So, you know, if you find yourself in whatever kind of a situation, maybe it's because of the decisions that other people made in Joseph's case. You know, it was the decisions his brother had made. You know, sell Joseph into slavery. So it wasn't him just choosing to go into slavery. His brothers chose to sell him. And now he's suffering the ramifications of that. But in the fact that he is sold into slavery, he's still prospering. Why? Because of God's favor in his life. You know, you might find yourself in a situation where, you know, because of the decisions of other people and how those decisions has negatively affected you. Maybe it has put you in a position that's, you know, maybe not pleasing to your flesh. Maybe your flesh has been struggling with where you're at. And you look at the situation and say, God, what did I do to end up here? I mean, Joseph could have easily thought that. What did I do to end up in slavery? But even in slavery for Joseph, God is prospering him. And God is wanting to prosper us, even though we might be in a position, not by our own choosing, but because of the decisions of other people. Doesn't mean that God doesn't have the ability to prosper you right where you are. That's a powerful point. See, with Joseph, he didn't choose himself to be in this situation in Potiphar's house. It was chosen for him. He's suffering the consequences. And yet, even in all of that, God still is blessing him and blessing Potiphar's house because for the sake of Joseph. If we can see this, if we can see for ourselves that we are the children of the Most High God, and no matter where we find ourselves, maybe it wasn't necessarily because of choices that we made, but because of the choices that other people made, that doesn't mean that God's hand has lifted off of your life and that God can't bless you and bless others around you that are going to bless you for your sake, for the fact that you are his child. Glory to God. That's good news. That's good news that God doesn't stop loving us because other people have done us wrong. And God, well, sorry, I can't do anything for you. That's not the case. That's not our Father. Our Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. He loves us so much. And his love for Joseph was so strong. He loved Joseph that even in slavery, even in Potiphar's house, God's blessing was abounding. It was blessing Potiphar for the sake of Joseph. How about that? But then, you know, now we're going to see something that took place while he's in the care of Potiphar. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused, verse 8, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master watcheth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because you art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And we're going to jump down to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Let's stop right there. So, here again, Joseph is in prison because of decisions that somebody else made, because of decisions that Potiphar's wife made. You know, she wanted to have an adulterous relationship with Joseph, lie with me, and he refused. Here you've got a young man in his late teens, early 20s, you know, probably a handsome man, and Potiphar's wife is, you know, she's got lustful thoughts, and she's seducing him. And here is a godly man. You know, you think about it, someone in that age that has, you know, a woman that's in a position of authority over him, that's wanting him to commit an adulterous relationship, and he has the wherewithal to resist. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sin against God and against the master of this house. I'm not going to do it. And yet she continued, she persisted. Now, when and we read these words and we don't think of what it must have been like when the guards are taking Joseph away to throw him into prison. You know, that probably was not a very fun time for Joseph. You know, being escorted away, here he was, you know, had all of the authority in Potiphar's house, had all of the rule of the house, and now, in an instant, just in a moment, is gone, just taken out of his hands. And again, he finds himself at the bottom of the pit. You know, he had everything. All he had to do was commit sin. All he had to do was to compromise his principles. Just compromise them. It'll be okay. You know, and where would he have been at if he had done that? Had he compromised to get out of a bad situation, to get out of a difficult situation? Just compromise your moral stand. It's going to be okay. You know, it's okay to compromise. It's okay just to bend your morals a little bit. You know, look at what's at stake, Joseph. Look at what's at stake. stake. You could lose the prestige of being the head of this house. You can lose the prestige, and not only that, but you'll find yourself in prison. You'll be at the bottom of the pit again. Yeah, and yet Joseph, there was so much working inside of Joseph. There was character that God was building inside of this man. There was he was learning how to deal with difficult situations. All of these things really were in preparation for the fulfillment of that dream. These things were all working to cause something strong and powerful to happen inside of Joseph. Now, you got to understand, Joseph could have easily compromised. He could have easily have said, you know, I give up. But, you know, if this means that I'm going to go to prison, I quit. I'm not going to go to prison. You know, and he could have turned the other direction. He could have compromised. He could have sinned. He could have given the woman what she wanted. But he didn't. Even though it cost him so much, it really, in the end, didn't cost him. That's the point I want to make. Is what it might appear to cost you to be that moral person, to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, what it might appear to cost you at this moment, later on, it's not going to cost you at all. God's going to reward you for your faithfulness. God's going to reward you for your obedience, for your stand on what is right and what is true. Glory to God, thank God for it. Thank God that He rewards those people that do stand for truth. Hallelujah. Now look at how He's, even in this situation, how the things are already turning in a positive direction. Chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. I'm in chapter 39, verse 21. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now think about that. Here he is. He's gone from the pit that his brothers threw him in. He got pulled out of there, sold into slavery, came into Potiphar's house, put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. Then Potiphar's wife made eyes towards him and ended up lying against Joseph, telling tales on Joseph. And Joseph ended up back in the pit, back in prison. And even at that, here he is in verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, you know, it maybe to his flesh, being in that prison, maybe that wasn't very pleasing. I can't imagine it was pleasing at all. But even in that difficult time, God didn't forsake him. Thank God. God didn't forget his address. God didn't lose Joseph's phone number. You know, here Joseph is suffering consequences because of his stand of morality, because of his stand of righteousness, and he's suffering because of it. God's not going to forget. God did not forget Joseph. He didn't, you know, where did Joseph go? Oh, he's in prison. Well, let's forget about Joseph. Not at all. Not at all. And he's blessing him in this situation. We'll read this again, verse 21. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. That's amazing. You know, as I read that, there's so much that that says to me about how God's favor can be on someone. And even when everything is going against him, God's favor is still causing Joseph to rise to the top in whatever the circumstances. Here he comes. Here he is in Potiphar's house. He rises to the top. Then, you know, the circumstances with the wife kick him back down again. But then what happens? He rises back up to the top. He gets to be the head of the prison. Now, as I was saying earlier, the what ifs. You know, if Joseph would have spent his life, you know, allowing himself to say, what if I, you know, here he is in prison after, you know, after Potiphar's wife had done what she did, and Joseph's in prison, you know, it would have been very easy for Joseph to just kick himself day after day. What if I hadn't, you know, made this moral stand? What if I had just, you know, given in to her? And you can live in that place of the what ifs. What if I, yeah, you know, look at where I am. Think about this, these dreams that I had at the beginning, where my brothers and my parents are bowing down to me. What about those dreams? How did I find myself in this situation? You know, now I'm back in this prison, and you know, you can easily fall in that trap of looking back and asking, what if I had just kept my mouth shut? You know, and then what happens? You end up just kicking yourself over and over again. And it, when you do that, you take your eyes off of the future. You take your eyes off of the plan that God has, and you live your life in the what ifs, looking back. What if I hadn't done that? What if I hadn't done this? What if I had just kept my mouth shut and not said anything, repeated those dreams? I could have avoided all of this. I mean, I was my father's favorite. I had the coat of many colors. And now I'm in this prison. I'm a long way from home here in Egypt. And what did I do? And you very easily, you can find yourself in that situation, questioning the decisions that you made in the past. You know, Joseph made the decision to tell these dreams. Was somebody sitting there twisting his arm to do it? No. He chose to tell them. And now, here he is in this place, in this prison. He chose not to lie with Potiphar's wife. He chose to make a moral stand, and now he's suffering the consequences of it. But even in the suffering, God's blessing is on him. And again, here he goes, rising back to the top. So how does that apply to our lives? Look, you may have a dream in your heart that you know that God has placed there. And you may have told the wrong people your dream. They may have envy and against you and thrown you in a pit. And you may be suffering the consequences. But if you are, if you've made decisions, choices that, you know, in hindsight, maybe it doesn't look like it was the right choice to make. God hasn't forgot about you. God hasn't lost your phone number. He hasn't just, you know, tossed you away and has nothing to do with you. That's not God at all. You know, and to give you a New Testament example of someone that made some bad decisions. Peter made some very bad decisions at the cross when he would decided to deny Jesus, deny even knowing Jesus, even cussed. But God didn't lose Peter's phone number. God didn't give up on Peter, even though he made those wrong choices. So God's for us. He's not against us. You know, if you listen to religion, you kind of get the idea at times that God's just a little bit mad at you, and you better toe the line, or God's, you know, he's gonna do something to straighten you out. That's not love, and that's not God. God is love, and that's not how love acts. God's not just a little bit mad at you, just waiting to straighten you out. He loves us. He loves us so much, He sent Jesus for us. And even if we, at times, maybe we don't make the best decision, maybe we open our mouth and say something that maybe we shouldn't have said, God is more than able to still cause His plan to come to pass in our life if we will cooperate with Him in the fulfillment of this plan. But if we get caught in that trap of the what ifs, asking, what if I had just kept my mouth shut and not said anything? What if I had done this? What if I had done that? Well, I tell you what, your life can go by and you've spent your life asking what ifs. That's not God. You know, God takes us where we are and the decisions that we've made, and as long as we will continue to follow after Him, follow after relationship with Him, He's going to continue to lead us and to guide us. But if we try to walk through life with our head turned around, looking backwards, you can't go forward if your head is looking backward. You have to turn your head around. You have to look in the future. And you have to see with the eye of faith and hope and trust in the Lord that what He has placed in your heart, that you are going to fulfill that. I truly believe in Joseph's life that he never turned loose. He never turned loose of those dreams. And we're talking about a span of 13 years in all of the ups and the downs of his life. I mean, just picture yourself, if you're in Joseph's shoes, in that pit when your brothers first sold you at 17. How far off do you think that dream of his brothers bowing down to him, how far do you think that felt from him at that moment? Here he is in a pit, about to be sold into slavery. That dream of the brothers and the mother and the father bowing down had to feel like it was a million miles away. And then when he's in Potiphar's house and he's starting to see the prospering of the Lord in his life, and he's placed over all of the things of Potiphar's house again. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Now things are beginning to roll again. You know, you get your hope going in a positive direction, and you're thinking, okay, now, yeah, I can see those dreams being fulfilled. And the next thing you know, here's Potiphar's wife, another roadblock. She wants you to commit sin, and you stand. You take your stand on your moral values and you refuse, and there it goes. It's like it's almost like sand slipping right out of your fingers. And you feel that way time and time again. And I have to admit, I felt that way at different times, where you sense that you're heading in, you know, heading in the right direction. Maybe you hadn't been feeling that way for a number of years, and then you seem like you're heading in the right direction. The next thing you know, you run into Potiphar's wife, and it's like sand just going right through your fingers. Where did that dream go? And then things start to turn around again, and it starts to work in the right direction. Don't give up. Don't turn loose of your hope. Keep that hope alive for what you know God has placed in your heart to fulfill. And only you can do that. Nobody can do that for you. Nobody else really cares. It's you. It's God. Or in my case, it's me and my wife serving the Lord together. But, you know, it's not like that anybody else can really feel that hurt with you. So you're going to have to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to learn to keep your eyes on Him. When the rug gets drug out from underneath of you and you find yourself in the pit, looking up on your back, how did I get here again? And you feel like the sand has gone through your fingers. Hey, it's only for a time. Get right back up. Stand back on your feet. The blessing of the Lord is on your life. And just like Joseph, He'll prosper you even in the prison. If that's where you are, if that's where you find yourself, He'll prosper you there. And the next thing you know, here he is. Joseph is rising to the top. You know, one thing that you never find in this, in any of the account of Joseph's life, is Joseph, you know, turning against God. Having a bad attitude against God, you don't see that. You don't see it because it's not there. He never had that attitude against God. Like, God, why did you do this to me? He didn't do that. He just kept walking with his eyes on the Lord, and the Lord blessed him, prospered people because of him. So here he is. In chapter 39, he's back in this prison. And the verse 22 says, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So then you see, then in chapter 40 was when the people from Pharaoh's court had the dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and one of them ends up back in Pharaoh's court and completely forgets about Joseph. How would you like it then? You know, you've told this guy, don't forget me when you get back in Pharaoh's good graces. Don't forget about me. Don't forget. I'm the one that interpreted these dreams for you. Don't forget me. What did he do? He completely forgot about it. And so here, I mean, think about how Joseph had to feel then. Here he is having the dream, interpreting the dream, and expecting any day now that door's going to open. I'm going to be set free. Didn't happen. So let's read here. In verse 40, or chapter 41, is where you see the dreams that Pharaoh had. And that's the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of the famine. And Joseph is brought in to interpret these dreams. But what I wanted to point out to you in verse 46 of chapter 41, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt, and then the seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about, every city laid up in the same, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. So let's stop there. The point that what I wanted to draw your attention to was he was 30 years old. 17 years old, he was thrown in that pit. 17 years old, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He's 30 years old. 13 years of this man's life, 13 years he spent going from one situation to the next situation, from Potiphar's house back into prison. What do we want to take from this? Things in the kingdom of God, they don't go on our timetables. The things that, as God's plan is unfolding, that dream that he had when he was 17 years old, that dream where his brothers were bowing down, where his parents were bowing down. You know, it took 13 years of this man's life, 13 years of life's experiences, of growing and developing, until he finds himself in the place. And it actually was even more than that, because 30 years, and then you have the 7 years of the prosperous, where the land was giving forth the fruit. So now you add 7 years, at 37 years old, and then they go into the lean years, which there was 7 years of lean time. At some point there is whenever Jacob sent the sons into Egypt to buy the food. So, you know, 37, 38, 39 years old, and you had the dream when you're 17. And I set it up the way I did, because in chapter 42, this is where Jacob is realizing that Egypt has corn. Why does Egypt have corn? Because the dreams were interpreted by Joseph. And Joseph had told Pharaoh the dreams, what the interpretation of the dreams that Pharaoh had. Joseph told him the interpretation. Pharaoh followed those, and there was plenty in Egypt. Jacob sees that. Jacob, you know, is suffering, his family is suffering from the lean years, from the famine. And so now he sends his sons to go in to buy grain in Egypt. So, and I wanted you to see this. As they come into the land of Egypt, we're looking in chapter 42. We're going to start in verse 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Can you imagine, after all of those years, suddenly, you know, we're talking about, you know, 20 years now. 20 years, and here are your brothers, and the dream is being fulfilled before your very eyes. They're bowing down before you. And look at what it says here. In Joseph, verse 7, saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come you?" And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brother, but they knew him not. Now look at these words, verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And let's stop right there. He remembered those dreams. How many times in those 20 years do you think he thought about those dreams? How many times? And how many times do you think that the circumstances that Joseph found himself in at that very moment made those dreams look completely and totally impossible? When he's in the prison, those dreams they're not looking possible. That his brothers are going to bow down to him, that his parents are going to bow down to him. But the fact that it says right there, Joseph remembered the dreams. I have to believe that during that 20-year period of time, those dreams, they would come up before him and he would remember those dreams. He would think about those dreams. And he had to have, I believe, he had to have a knowing, I'm going to see these dreams come to pass. I don't know how. See, that's just what I want to leave you with here tonight. You may know in your heart what it is that God has for you, what he desires for you, the direction that he wants your life to go in. And maybe time and time again, just like with Joseph, it was like sand going through your fingers. You felt like you were close at times. And then just like the sand just seemed to go through your fingers to the point that maybe you've lost all hope of ever fulfilling what is in your heart. My encouragement to you is, don't lose heart. Hold on. Hold on. No matter if it's been 20 years or 30 years, to what God placed in your heart all those years ago. Hold on to it. Don't turn loose. Even if Potiphar's wife comes and tries seducing you, don't turn loose. Even if you find yourself in prison, don't turn loose, because if you will be diligent and hold fast to the hope that's in your heart, hope of the dream that God's placed within you. I know at times you'll find the circumstances are screaming at you. It's this way and it will never change. You have to hold on to the hope that's inside of you. You have to hold on to the dream, to what God's placed in your heart. Don't turn loose of it. I believe that Joseph held fast to it. And he saw with his own eyes the fulfillment of that dream, his brothers bowing down before him. I have to imagine at that moment. Well, can you just picture the joy? Not in the fact that his brothers are doing this, but the joy in, finally, I see the fulfillment of what God you placed in my heart 20 years ago. That joy had to be overwhelming for Joseph. And again, I want to stress this point. I really believe this is a major key for why Joseph finally did see this. He didn't spend his life in the what ifs. He didn't spend his life begrudging the actions of others. You don't see in here anywhere Joseph speaking disparagingly about his brothers. He loved his brothers, even though his brothers, they did him wrong. He wasn't speaking disparagingly against them. He didn't have a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't angry with them. You know, how many of us, if we were in Joseph's shoes, and here comes the brothers that threw you in a pit and sold you into slavery. Don't get the impression that the events of being sold into slavery were anything pleasant. They were not pleasant at all. And here you are. You've got the chance right now. They're bowed down right in front of you, and you could take vengeance on them, and you feel very righteous about doing it. Joseph did. Joseph loved his brothers, even though that they did what they did to him. And so, when you have your opportunity, you need to have the same forgiveness in your heart for whatever has happened, whatever other people have done to you. You know, just continue to look forward. Don't look backward. Don't fall into the trap of the what ifs. What if I had never listened to that person? What if I had never done this? What if I had never said that? What if I had never... See, if you start heading in that direction, the enemy likes to take that and just like a snowball, just start with a little bit and then keep on and keep on until you're questioning every decision that you've ever made. You can't go there. You have to trust that where you are at this moment, God is able to take you and walk you into His plan. And trust Him and allow Him to do that. Amen? God has a good plan for you. God has a good plan for us. God's plans are good. They're not evil. He wants us. He desires for us to fulfill what He's called us to do, the calling that He's placed on our life. And praise God, if we will keep our eyes focused on what He's placed in our heart, no matter what the circumstances, I believe that we're going to fulfill what He has placed in our heart to fulfill. Amen? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this encouraging story of Joseph. I thank You for the events of Joseph's life and how this man kept his attention focused on the goals in front of him and not on the what ifs. What if I had done this? What if I hadn't done that? Father, and he didn't enter into unforgiveness. Thank You, God, for the picture, for the example of Joseph's life. And Father, thank You that we can march from where we are into everything that You have for us, as long as we will turn our attention off of our past and on to our future. Thank You for Your grace to help us do this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.